Good morning, sir. What is your name, sir?
I'm Steve Lee.
I have them also.
You said you have that one?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Colores will serve as the lead for your opinion, sir. So that's all on.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
I'm Steve Lee, 64046.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is about the three alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying of this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on July 18, 2018. Is that correct, Mr. Olguin?
Somewhere that time, yes.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire, at your expense, a lawyer to represent you. See no attorney with you while you're representing yourself today, sir.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on your video conference screen, to my far right at the end of the bench, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, and we have the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse. At the center of the bench, we have our esteemed board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright. Next to me is Honorable Mr. David Neal, and my name is Louis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for this hearing. Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Turner, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So, Mr. O'Gean and Mr. Turner, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. O'Gean, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked. And keep in mind, there's a separate vote that passes the hearing from phase one to phase two. When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they're true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. O'Gean. I'll begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed, or probably about to lapse, in your criminal measure company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of opiates without a valid prescription on about June 22, 2018, for the task lab report dated June 29, 2018. Mr. O'Gean, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. Allegation number two, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your use of methamphetamine on about June 22, 2018, for the task UCMS lab report dated June 29, 2018. Mr. O'Gean, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you, sir. And allegation number three, violation of condition number three, as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at B-Grade, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on or about June 25th, 2018, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Mr. O'Gean, is this true or false?
I was asked to be there, and I had nowhere to go, and I just went to my father's house. So, and my report date was July 5th, and that happened night and the 31st or something like that, close to it. I don't remember the exact date. And I went to my father's house.
Mr. O'Gean, thank you for your details. For the first phase of this hearing, I'm simply asking you whether it is true or false. So, do you believe this is true or false?
True.
Thank you, sir. I will make a motion to pass the hearing from phase one to phase two, and that is based on Mr. O'Gean's admission. I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or had lapsed in the criminal wager company.
Second.
McGurney.
Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse. House, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. O'Gill, we're going to continue with the second phase of your hearing, and it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But keep in mind, but before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Turner, our community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about this case. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Thank you, sir. Mr. Turner, if you will.
Mr. Hogan was released from ADC custody on 6-18-2018 and arrested on 7-1-2018 by Phoenix PD. He was arrested on 3 misdemeanor charges of failure to pay fines, returned back to ADC custody on 7-9-2018 with a CSED of 214-2019, 0 abscond days. Current conviction, 2013, organized retail theft, 3 years. Prior convictions, 1985, commitment A, count 1, aggravated assault, 3 years, 9 months. 1985, commitment A, count 2, aggravated assault, 3 years, 9 months. 1986, promoting prison contraband, 3 years. 1988, aggravated assault, 5 years. 1993, commitment D, count 1, robbery, 8 years. 1993, commitment D, count 2, aggravated robbery, 8 years. 1993, commitment E, count 1, narcotic drug violation, 8 years. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CUIR score of 3-3, mental health score of 1, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, he is a suspected member of the New Mexico Mafia of Arizona. Prior terms of supervision, 1988, provisional release, arrested, administratively revoked. 1992, transitional release, reverted to provisional release, arrested, administratively revoked. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy with giving false information, stealing, intent, death, drugs, destruction of property, possession, manufacturing of a weapon, rioting, threatening with harm, harassment, and possession of contraband noted. There were other arrests, but the charges were either not filed or dismissed. He has a GV score of G6B8.
Thank you. And are those misdemeanor charges pending, sir?
I don't have any follow-up on that. So I don't know if they're pending or if they were taken care of.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Back to you, Mr. O'Gee. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections without an approved placement. On June 20, 2018, you were directed and agreed to reside at 3914 West Lynn Lane, Phoenix, Arizona, with your sister, Yvette Najera. You were advised that this placement was only temporary, as the property was owned by your father, who was unreachable due to medical issues. On June 22, 2018, you were directed to report a status of residency in V-Gray in Phoenix. You were found in possession of drug paraphernalia and were subsequently discharged on June 26, 2018. It looks like that you did not provide any additional addresses for investigation prior to absconding. Now, I'm going to stop for 1 second. Mr. Turner, if I'm not mistaken, it was 0 abscond days, correct?
It was 0 abscond days. It looks like there's a note here on 627. It says, good evening. Officer Aguilar of Phoenix PD advised that he observed Hogan, ADC number 64046, possibly attempting to steal bikes from Walmart located at 6150 South 35th Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. He did not resist. Did not arrest him because he couldn't verify the attempt, but Hogan was in possession of pliers and loitering around chain bicycles out in front. So he had, I'm assuming that they gave him time to report, and he was arrested before that time was given.
Okay, so he was virtually arrested the day that he would have been considered on abscond status, therefore he had 0 days. Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. O'Gee, I just wanted some clarification on that. Were you able to find any employment while you were on community supervision?
That was the word I was starting that on Friday, that I was coming, up at Hope Ridge, so it's still on Broadway and 27th Avenue. And I never got a chance to get there.
And did you have a prior experience with this company or skills?
No.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Not prior experiences.
Program notes, during your initial intake, you were referred to task, called the day program, and assigned the color ivory. While assigned to ivory, you were responsible for one testable sample. You provided one sample on June 22nd, 2018, which tested positive for methamphetamine and morphine. So I will ask you, did you have, because this speaks to two of the violations on your warrant, did you have ongoing issues with drug abuse or addiction, sir?
Yes, I do, and that's my whole problem here. I was trying to get into a rehab, not to a halfway house, to where I could get, was trying to get to with my Mr. Krugerman, my PO, to get me into a rehabilitation center other than a halfway house to try to get this corrected, because this is the main problem in my life. I've been doing drugs for now like 35 years, and that's my issue is drugs. I'm trying to get into a rehab. That's what I wouldn't even ask to be released to the community. I would try to get into a rehab and get sent there so I can correct the problem, or at least get me to the right path to correcting it.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for atoning for your drug issues. I was going to ask you if you had been involved in drugs for a long time, but you already stated that. Did you have a particular drug of choice?
Heroin, opiates.
And methamphetamine as well, or was that just occasionally?
No, that was just an occasional thing that just came up.
I recognize that you're stating that underneath your primary issue is drugs, but you did have quite a few arrests for aggravated assault, so were you prone to fighting?
Yeah, when I was younger, yes. That is correct.
You heard the discussion between the parole officer and myself here in the hearing room. You have zero abscond days, but it looks like that you were, and I think we discussed this a little bit earlier, had technically absconded from Vivre before you were arrested very shortly thereafter. So, again, what was causing this transition from Vivre to abscond status? What happened?
Well, what happened was my roommate, they went into arrested for some violation term or whatever, and whatever he did, he threw his paraphernalia out the window, and they were asked me why wasn't I guess they have a rule in there, if your roommate or whoever using drugs, that you're supposed to inform the staff there. And being that I didn't inform the staff there, that they asked me to leave. And when I left, I went to my father's house, and my report date was July 5th. There was no scouting day before that. I got pulled over once, as the parole officer said, they're coming from a Walmart. And he ran my name, and I explained to him, I just got out, that the misdemeanor warrants were from like 2012 that refused to pay fines or something of damage. I can't remember the exact years for both of them, but I believe it was somewhere in that time. And I didn't pay them, and I ended up being locked up. And then when I got out, I scouted, I think I was on the 29. The thing was, the one they asked me to leave was like on the 29th or something like that. I don't remember the exact date. And I was arrested on the 1st, which was on the weekend, and my report date was on the 5th. On the 5th of July is when I was supposed to report to Mr. Krugerman, and I never got the chance to. I was arrested on the 1st for the misdemeanor warrants that were from 2012, and the DOC put a hold on me then. And action now. This is where I'm at.
Okay, Mr. McGee, my last question is, before I open it up to the board, have you been able to stay clean since you've been returned to the Department of Corrections? And I ask that because we recognize that drugs continue to be available inside the system, in particular heroin. So have you been able to stay clean?
Actually, I've been clean since the first, since my arrest. I have not used.
The 1st of August?
July.
So it's been about 45 days. How do you feel?
Yes. Getting back to my normal self, barely.
Well, thank you.
When I left prison, I left strung out, you know what I mean? When I left Cimarron, I was strung out. I'm not going to sit here and lie to the board about what it was and what it wasn't. That's what it was.
I do appreciate that. We do have to make some tough decisions on behalf of the people of Arizona, but I think it's very meaningful when people inside the Department of Corrections are honest with us, especially when it comes to drug addiction, because we recognize that it's a bigger problem. There's a lot of people inside and outside of the system that are struggling with drugs right now. I think if you can take some additional information from our community corrections officer. Yes, Mr. Turner.
A couple different things. I'd like to read one of the lines from the conditions that he signed on 6/2018, and then I'll give a brief synopsis of one entry on the incident that happened in Vibray, and then another one. So on his conditions, on the second sheet, condition C, it clearly states that displaced or discharged from your approved residency, you must report by 10 a.m. the next workday to the Northeast Parole Office. So he wasn't aware that at the date, if he was discharged, he had to report the next day, not on his next report date. Per the note that was entered, I'm not going to read the entire thing. It states that the offender was seen throwing drug paraphernalia out of the bedroom window, which was later determined to be a syringe and a glass pipe.
Thank you.
Pardon?
No, good, sir.
On 7/2/2018, Keel Kumpelman received a phone call from the offender's sister. Ms. Rodriguez stated that the offender had broke into the offender's elderly father's home over the weekend. The father is currently in a residential physical rehab facility after having a leg amputated. Ms. Rodriguez stated that neighbors had advised her that they observed the offender attempting to force entry into the home on Saturday. Ms. Rodriguez arrived at their father's residence later in the day to find the garage forced open and two vehicles missing from the backyard. Ms. Rodriguez further reported that she received another call from neighbors on Sunday stating that the offender was again attempting to gain entry to the residence. Ms. Rodriguez was also informed that Phoenix Fire had responded to a suspicious vehicle fire on the property as well on Sunday. Ms. Rodriguez states she was contacted by PPD Officer Garcia on Sunday stating the offender had been arrested at the residence.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Okay, Mr. O'Gean, just in case, I don't want to skip this, but do we have any questions from fellow board members? Okay, seeing no questions from fellow board members. Mr. O'Gean, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We really ask that you don't share anything with us that you've already stated, but this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know and understand before the board goes into discussion and votes?
No.
Thank you, Mr. O'Gean. The board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, as I stated in our dialogue with Mr. O'Gean, I do appreciate how direct he was, especially with his ongoing struggles with drug addiction, in particular heroin. I recognize that he was arrested very quickly after being designated as an absconder. But he was arrested by the Phoenix Police Department for failure to appear warrants. And he does not have, let's just say that he has a pattern of not getting through his community supervision. I do appreciate that he's been clean for 45 days. I think that's a good sign. But at this point, I am not finding him a suitable candidate for community supervision or returning to community supervision. I think he may be better off staying clean for these next few months and putting together a plan for his return to the community. It sounds like he's able to find employment, which is a very good sign, but I'm certainly open to the input of my colleagues. I'll go for the input, therefore I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to us in Rule Number 2018-W1896, I move to revoke community supervision of Mr. O'Gean, was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in the criminal management company, inasmuch that he relapsed to his use or continued to his with his use of illegal substances and changed his place of residence without prior approval, and that is my motion.
Second.
Agree. State seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Neal. Mr. O'Gean, your supervision has been revoked and you will be released on or about February 14, 2019. I recognize that may sound like a long ways away, but it is a matter of months. So we encourage you to take advantage of these last months to put together a plan for your return to the community. Seek any programming that's available to you inside the Department of Corrections to include things as basic as Narcotics Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous. But more than anything, to put together a plan for your safe return to the community, we hope to see you return to the community, drug and crime free, and able to move on from this stage in your life. We certainly want to see you succeed out there. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place, and we'd appreciate if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. O'Gean.